Quest for Truth. Episode 260.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN. Now located at life-truth.com, here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith. Maybe podcast host deputy, I could say. So this is just a silly thing that we do here at Quest for Truth. And I am live today in Church House Studio, joined by a co-host you haven't heard in a long time, Christopher the Wild Moose. The problem is right now, even though we're sitting here together live in the studio, I don't have my audio recording set so you can hear his voice. We will be joined in a little bit by Nathan Caldwell, and so that's kind of why we kind of roll low tech around here, and we kind of have to, today at least, gear things towards having this three-way conversation so we can talk about a topic. And the audio quality will probably be well enough, but it probably will definitely be noticeably different. So just expect that whenever we wait for this phone call from our beloved co-host, Nathan Caldwell. As we prepare for that, I'll take a moment to do some housekeeping, as we like to do up front. This topic came about due to a lot of things happening in my personal sphere of daily life. And it's been a topic that I definitely have been digging into and studying up on, which would be the Holy Spirit. And that's why you may notice that over the last few months, we've had a rash of Holy Spirit episodes, trying to lay some groundwork, some background, and some solid theology behind that. I think today, our installment may bring things to a head and get to the point of some false teachings that have been plaguing me, I guess personally, people around me. So I don't know if this will be the final installment, but surely I think it will be one that reveals some things as we discuss. Just a couple of talking points, because Nathan doesn't have a lot of time today. He says maybe about 30 minutes, so this won't be a very long show. And I also want to take time to thank you, the listener, for sticking with us. I know that our listenership has grown just a little bit recently, and it hasn't seemed to have wavered. Actually grown some, I think. So you may not have the best host, but we certainly have the best listeners, and keep on supporting us in that way and telling friends about our show, especially if you like the show. And if you don't like the show and you want to torture your friends, go ahead and tell them too. But anyway, I also wanted to take time, a mutual self-support and promotion. Give a shout-out to the Christian Podcast Community found at christianpodcastcommunity.org, where you'll find great shows like this one.
Welcome to Romans Road, the podcast of me, Eddie Roman. This is where we talk about evangelism and apologetics and all kinds of Christian stuff.
Ray Comfort here. If you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, please take a moment to do so now. On your phone's podcast app, search for Romans Road, and when you find it, hit subscribe. It's free, and by doing so, you'll get all episodes past, present, and future. Then when you're finished, head over to livingwaters.com for a huge collection of evangelism videos, articles, tracks, and resources to help you share the gospel with those around you. That's livingwaters.com.
Thanks for listening to Romans Road. If you want to learn how to evangelize, check out my book, Search and Rescue, available at eddieroman.com. On my website, you'll also find videos and other things to encourage you to preach the gospel to your friends and family. That's eddieroman.com. See you next time.
All right, and we now should be about ready. We had the call come in from Nathan Caldwell, so as I roll our bumper, we will be switching over to our live chat. Here we go for our main topic.
Main topic.
I want to say that the reason why this topic came up is, at least in my sphere of daily life, is that there are two Holy Spirits, which was mind-boggling to me when I heard it, but the guy that was saying it was dead serious. He says there's a Holy Ghost and a Holy Spirit. They're two different things. And they're not the same.
And so that's interesting, because that would mean that instead of a Trinity, you would have something else.
And it goes back to, he's one of those guys who is a King James only kind of a guy, which I know you are too. But in the end, you'll find out that it holds up.
I don't... I'm not a King James. I don't consider myself King James only. I use King James, and I often prefer it. But the other day, I had to use my Holman to teach a class,
because
I left my King James. So I'm not King James only.
The story, or the theory, or the corrupted theology goes like this: King James is, you know, the only real translation for English speaking people,
but
it's the only one that's really accurate, which I can really tear that up if I need to, but not today.
Not today.
it was very accurate for its day, but you have to remember too, the reason why it was written had an awful lot to do with politics and not at all with theology. So I'll leave it there. It's a good translation. I do use it, and I do study it. But here's the problem: is because they chose the word ghost sometimes and spirit at other times, there are people out there who say, "Oh, theologically, they meant this meaning of it here and that meaning of it there." Now, you know, I did a search, and I just typed into Google, why does the King James prefer the use of a Holy Ghost and other translations use Holy Spirit? And I got back some results. And would you read that first one for us, Nathan?
This one? All right. It says from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the terms Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost mean exactly the same thing. Both refer to the third person in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The phrase Holy Ghost is simply an older term that dates back several hundred years and is found in some old versions of the English Bible, such as the King James Version. Because the word ghost has a different meaning today than it did several hundred years ago, modern translations of the Bible always use Holy Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit is God himself, and he is at work both in the world and in our heart. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. In fact, we can't even come to him until he convicts us of our sins and convinces us of our need to commit our lives to Christ. Jesus said when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, John 16:8.
Now, do you see any problem with that statement? I mean, that sounds really accurate to me as far as, I would claim that as a statement of belief about the Holy Spirit.
I would.
because Billy Graham Association or Evangelistic Association says that Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, same thing.
Right.
And I will tell you, if you look it up in Greek, it's the word hagiopneuma. Pneuma is the Greek word that means spirit. Mm-hmm. In Old Testament, ruach is the word that means exactly the same thing, spirit. Mm-hmm. In Latin, we had the word spiritus, which means, of course, spirit. In Old English, we have the word ghast. Doesn't that sound like the word ghost? Because it is. It means the same thing. So whenever they chose a word, ghost here and spirit there, because the KJV authors do use the word Holy Spirit in their writing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's another.
Right.
It's because they just happen to have chose an English word over a Latin word, over a Greek word. But they all mean the same thing.
Right.
Sometimes in a foreign language, the word, it there's not a good translation for. But sometimes there's just a word that is so solid, it means the same thing. And no matter what language you speak, you know. And so what I would say is people who believe that sometimes the Holy Spirit refers to the Father or the Holy Ghost refers to Christ, you're making I don't know what you would call it. It's a sandcastle. It's meaningless because you're saying the same word. I don't know how to add anything to that.
I've got an illustration. I have a father and a mother. My father's name is Doyle Caldwell. He's father, he's dad, he's brother Caldwell, he's brother Doyle.
Yeah. And sometimes you call your mom mommy or mother or
right.
Mommy.
And I've been known to call dad daddy.
Yeah. Even I remember you sometimes age. You say to a kid, "What's your mom's name, mom?"
Yeah.
You know, so it's there. Whenever it's just different words that mean exactly the same thing. And to build a theology on that, you're building a theology on the whim of a translator from 1600. And honestly, the word ghost, like in that word from the Billy Graham people, it really does mean something. Because if you go up to somebody and say, "What's a ghost?" Why do you think they would tell you? Oh, it's like, you know, Casper, it's a guy with a sheet over his head. It's some kind of a phantasm. So it can be a confusing statement in our modern terminology. And honestly, it's a little bit superstitious or whatever. But so let me continue on. I have a statement here. And you can interrupt me anytime I'm reading this because I kind of really want you to.
Okay.
This is from dispensationalpublishing.com. Now, I don't know what their religious affiliation is, but I can tell you what, they are not Baptist. This is a foreign topic to me. It is no surprise to you that God has a spirit, and the Spirit of God is much different than the Holy Spirit.
Hold on, what now?
That is, the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the Lord, is not necessarily the third person of the Trinity.
Now what?
That's what it says. I read it verbatim. That's what I said whenever I read it. Let me continue and see if this guy explains himself. Into places where the KJV translators understood the Holy Spirit to be the third person of the Trinity, they used the words Holy Ghost. However, in times in which they thought it was the Spirit of the Lord, or they believed there was a shadow of doubt, then they used the words Holy Spirit.
I want to know where they got that. I want to know what their source is of this statement.
Apparently, it's the King James Version.
No, because I can guarantee you the King James Version doesn't say anything about if something's in question, we use this word, and if no.
No, I don't have our time is short today, and I don't have time to go and read the full statement. But I can tell you this because I read a lot.
Right, a lot of disturbing
stuff.
Let
me tell you what this guy's backing up theology is. They feel that in the salvation process, that you're under conviction by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes you feel guilty. You come to repentance. You realize you're no longer comfortable in your sin. Now the Holy Spirit helps, gives you the faith, and you now believe. And you confess your sin, you're now saved, you're born again, regenerated. All those words kind of, mark the same point in your conversion. And as John 3:16 claims, you now have eternal life, not eternal perishing. So they go for that. But they say that there's no evidence of that until the Holy Ghost baptizes you. So you have to be saved by having the Holy Spirit regenerate you, but you're not really saved until you show evidence by the Holy Ghost. And it's what they're doing is they're saying the Spirit of the Father transforms you, but then you have to have another spirit baptism by the Spirit of Jesus.
I can tell you where this is going. They're going to say that their proof of having this is speaking in tongues.
Ooh, let me, since you mentioned that, I'm going to see if I can play this real quick. Okay, listen to this clip. Now, this guy is going to give a very important message, all right? I want you to listen closely to every word he says.
It was Hooray for Hollywood, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the last time this season, we bring you our master of ceremonies, a man who sailed apart the state of privacy, not only the center of our spiral fire, the center of the dark, the greatest state of privacy of our sacred center, called Jack Benny.
He was speaking in tongues, right? You heard that. That was a very important message. He did a very eloquent, beautiful introduction for Jack Benny.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what, crazy. To me, that's what speaking in tongues is. It's suddenly you go off and nobody knows what you're saying.
But that's, of course, we know better. That is not what speaking in tongues was.
Well, that was just meant to kind of poke fun at it.
Right, of course.
Speaking tongues, I'm sorry. I just wanted to poke fun at you a little bit.
But here's the problem with that. When Paul talked about the gifts, Paul said that not everybody has every gift, that some had tongues, some had interpreter. Paul said some had tongues. Paul didn't say all had tongues.
Right.
So you can't, even if you believe that that this kind of stuff is still going on today, which, by the way, I don't.
Here's a curveball for you. Yeah. Now, this is, again, from a statement we don't have time to really read at this moment. But it says that the tongues that you receive, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is not necessarily the same gift of tongues that is talked about as in the gift of tongues. And my thing is, what? What do you mean it's not the same?
Well, you have to understand that it logically follows that if you can say that there are two spirits, of course you can say there are two tongues, because there would have to be, right?
Because you had to be using two tongues to make logic out of having two Holy Spirits.
There you go.
You got to be talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah,
because it is false teaching. It is, sorry about that, my phone just blinked. It's false teaching. It is a heresy. Now, people who believe this, they may be well-meaning, and it may be their way of trying to make sense of, I know I've been saved, but where's the evidence? What can I point to that is fruit of my salvation? And they just get it in their head that it has to be tongues. And
what happened to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control?
Someone once told me, you go to these worship services and they come around you and they lay hands on you so you can be saved and speak in tongues.
All right.
You never see somebody gathering around a circle to lay hands on someone for the gift of administration. That's one of the gifts.
Right.
Prophecy, teaching, administration. And it comes ahead of, it's more important than tongues. Tongues is the least of the gifts. It's just the bottom end on a totem pole of gifts.
I was going to say.
In fact, because I've heard you say it before, the only thing that's going to endure is faith, love, and hope, right?
That's right.
Those are the best gifts to have.
Well, actually, if you want to go farther, the only thing that will last forever is love.
Right. And hence, 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul describes that spiritual gift in great detail. In fact, at the end of chapter 12, he says, but here is the greatest gift. Where's that effect? I'm not quoting it exactly. And then, ta-da, he leads into the discourse on love. So if you really want a spiritual gift, it's not tongues. I would go for love. If you really want evidence of a spiritual gift, it's the signs of a transformed life, that you no longer do what you used to like to do, you know, talking about things obviously are sin, you know, swearing or hanging out in bars or carousing or whatever. Things you used to like, you stop because you've been transformed. That's evidence. So anyway, why don't we have Chris read his statement that he has here.
Yeah, considering everything I keep trying to say gets blown. It's like I get ready to say something, like kind of jokey, then you guys kind of blow through me, and then you say what more or less what I was going to say anyway, but less funny. What's the point? But anyway, this is from the King James translators in defense of a variety of words to translate one original word. There is another thing we think good to point out to you, gentle reader. It is that we have not tied ourselves to a uniformity of phrasing or to an identity of words, as some perhaps would wish that we had done. AKA, they had a thesaurus handy. They felt like spicing up their text with words that mean the same thing.
And they get some examples there, right?
It cuts off, I think. Oh, wait, no, this says read more. Derpy derp. We have not always expressed the same idea with the same particular word. For example, if we translate the Hebrew or Greek word once by purpose, then in another place to call it intent. If one place journeying and another traveling, if one place think, then, or in another, oh, holy cow. I lost my spot.
So while you're finding your spot, I'll just comment and say, so clearly they admit that they use alternate words, like they whipped out a thesaurus and said, oh, journeying here, traveling there, or intent.
And any grammatic worker worth his salt often does that. I know these people weren't authors, but they were trying to make this thing at least somewhat readable, and that's part of it.
But and so they admit that they on purpose used an alternate word for like an example of, you know, ghost and spirit.
Right.
To them, they just did it because on their whim or whatever, but the words mean the same, and they mean the same as the word that we're translating. And so, in other words, they didn't apply any theology to it. They applied rules of grammar, we'll say.
I found my spot. Oh,
okay.
In one place, think. In another, suppose. In one place, pain. In another, ache. In one place, joy, in another, gladness. To use a uniformity of words, we thought it would produce more of curiosity than wisdom, and that rather it would breed scorn in the atheist than bring profit to the godly reader. For is the kingdom of God become the words or syllables? Why should we lie in bondage to them if we may be free? Why use one word only when we may use another no less fit and just as suitably?
So they were guided by rules of literature, basically. So people who jump on this and say ghost and spirit are different, they're only different in the rules of literature.
They were trying to make it the best read possible, the best product of the day, quality wise.
And so they're admitting their purpose was to make it interesting literature.
It's literally interesting literature.
Right. There we go. That's what I meant to say. To build a theology is just ridiculous to me. And I don't understand why people get so bent out of the shape down that road. Now, do you have another statement for us there, Nathan?
I do, but when I get to the end, I'm going to have a question for you.
Sure.
I don't know if you caught this or not. All right, the source is gotquestions.org. I don't know who runs that. Do you, Keith?
I haven't got a clue. I think it's just a general question board where anybody can ask anything.
From there, this says, the real issue is that both the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit refer to the third person of the Trinity, co-equal and co-substantial with the Father and the Son. It's Matthew 28:19, Acts 5:3-4, 28:25-26, and 1 Corinthians 12:4-6. He is the gift of the Father to his people on earth to initiate and complete the building of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Is also the agency by which the world is convicted of sin. The Lord Jesus is glorified and believers are transformed into his image. John 16:7-9, Acts 1:5-4, Romans 8:29, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Ephesians 2:22. Whichever term we use, we remember that the Holy Ghost is God's active breath blowing where he wishes, creating faith through, this is the part I don't understand, water and word. What does he mean by water and word?
That's a good question. That's just a quote right from that.
Right, we're just quoting.
I got a feeling it means water baptism, John the Baptist, the word being Jesus Christ, John 1:1. I'm just guessing.
Right.
It was water and work.
Yeah, I was gonna say
maybe it's like the people that work at the water processing plant.
Whatever.
But that I might have.
The Holy Spirit comes to your tap on your sink.
No, the Holy Spirit comes when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior through faith alone.
Right.
By God's grace alone.
Right, and there's only, in fact, one of those references in 1 Corinthians 12 actually says there's one body, one Lord, one Spirit. There's just one. There's not two. And if you say there's two, you really do not have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. But this has been an issue in my life and my world of contact for the last at least 6 months, if not more.
Wow.
I've been studying up on this because I keep hearing it, and it is heresy, it is false teaching, and it needs to be called out for what it is.
Growing up, never anybody ever mentioned Holy Ghost, like the ghost or spirit. Even as a little kid, I'm like, that's the same thing. So yeah. I don't know why it's so hard if a little kid can figure it out.
Well, Keith, now
And yet theologians in these false teachings, well, they hammer this, that no, there's two. And anytime it says Holy Spirit, that means God's Spirit. And when it says Holy Ghost, it's Jesus's Spirit. And it's like, but then you're saying it's not Trinity anymore. Is it Trinity or is it not Trinity?
Well, because now here's another question. Are they saying Jesus isn't God?
I don't know. Because if you read what the Trinity is, and we talked about it recently on our Statements of Faith episode, they're all this. It's one God, and there's three personalities. There's one God.
Who said it?
There's three roles that they do.
I don't know whether it was Andrew or somebody else, but somebody said something that really made sense to me, and he says it's one what, three whos.
I think it might have been Greg Kokel. It might have been Andrew.
Might have been, okay, one of the two. So one what, three whos, and that made a whole lot of sense to me.
And I mean, there's no really easy analogy for the Trinity, but the Spirit of God, I mean, I covered this in some of my long-winded Holy Spirit episodes recently, that God's Holy Spirit acted temporarily in the Old Testament. And while Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit did come to other people. He was with John the Baptist through his entire life. But other than Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit was still sporadic and temporary with other people. Yes, he went with the 72 disciples, but he didn't remain with them because that hadn't happened yet until the crucifixion and Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit initiated the church, as what your statement there said. The Holy Spirit initiated, same Holy Spirit, but now he's not in Jesus anymore. He's with us. He
gave
caused
them
the apostles to begin the church.
Well, let me clarify something here. Jesus gave the church the authority. The Holy Spirit gave it the power.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
The church, I strongly believe the church started when Jesus was on the earth with his disciples. I'm one of the people that would tell you that Jesus was the first pastor, and you can't.
And the evidence and the support of that is that verse that says Jesus is the cornerstone, the builders rejected. Mm-hmm. He is the foundation of the foundation, basically.
That's right.
So in that aspect, oh yes, indeed. Whenever Jesus came, the cornerstone was here, and that started the building process. So, but these are purposes of the Holy Spirit. Collectively, he acts in the body of Christ. Christ was the cornerstone. Apostles are the foundation stones. And everyone that comes after that is one of the living stones that Peter talks about, the building stones. Here's another false teaching. I don't have notes on it, so this is a bonus. People will say, you know, new apostolic movement, whatever they call it.
New apostolic reformation. Woo, yeah.
What they say is we are apostles. You know, new apostle.
I don't think so.
They think that we are apostles. Are we really? Are we now the foundation of the church? I don't think so. There was 12 apostles. There's 12 plus Christ. That's the foundation. Everything else is not apostles.
Then you have to look at what were the qualifications of being an apostle. And I don't think these new people saw Jesus. Of course, they might claim they did.
They might claim they had a direct
vision
of Jesus. But
I had this really weird dream.
But here's the thing. If you really are a modern day prophet and you really are an apostle, write it down. Because every word you write has to be true. Because it's from the Holy Spirit, right? You saw Jesus, right? You need to be writing this down, people out there. So far as I know, nobody has. At least not to any widely accepted thing. I'm sure they have writings of their own little false teaching sect.
Man.
But anyway, that is what I wanted to talk about today. And I wanted to keep it brief because, again, I know our time is going to be short.
Yeah, brief. Like Hanes, Fruit of the Loom.
So that's what we got. Did you have anything you wanted to add with this? Or?
Well, I do. Because when you sent me the email, you've said it's heresy. You've said a lot of things, but I didn't hear you say here what you said in your email. I think it's very important. You use the word dangerous. This teaching is dangerous, and I really wish we had Andrew here with us today.
Because I think he's on a semi-hiatus because he's been super busy with traveling.
Oh, yeah. But I've been telling you, Keith, he'd go to town on this one. He would go to town on it.
It's dangerous because it's like James Kennis on his That Story Show says, or truth wrapped in a lie.
Yes.
It's the truth in that the Holy Spirit is instrumental in salvation. But it's a lie to say there's no evidence of your salvation. There's no assurance that you've even been saved until you demonstrate the Spirit baptism by an outward sign, which, of course, by outward sign, they always mean talking in tongues.
It's crazy.
Now, here's the thing about talking in tongues. Part of it I knew, part of it I didn't. In Isaiah, he talks about talking in tongues.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The idol worshipers, the pagans talk in tongues in their mutters and chirps.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
So talking in tongues is not a guaranteed sign. You may be a pagan and talking in tongues. You know that Muslims talk in tongues? I didn't know that.
The pagan version of talking in tongues ain't the same thing, though.
And Mormons are said to talk in tongues. I didn't know that. Mm. So talking in tongues is not a foolproof sign.
Right.
Because even demons can make somebody talking in tongues.
Oh, yeah. Gibberish.
All the tongues. Every single one.
Another thing about tongues is the root word like that in Greek is glossae. Just like you may think, it's where we get our word glossary from.
Huh.
And what's a glossary?
Word.
It's a list of words with their meanings. So if you're talking in a tongue, you're talking in words that have meaning.
Right.
You may not know what they are, but you're speaking in words that have meaning. And if there's no one there who understands that or can translate that, it's meaningless. So I would be careful with talking.
Yep. Plus, if you're saying something and you don't know what you're saying,
In 1 Corinthians 12, it's one of the early verses in there. I think it's like verse 3 or 4. Paul says that if someone's truly saved, they cannot blaspheme Christ. I forget if it's Christ or the Holy Spirit or God. But you cannot blaspheme. But if you're truly saved, you will say Jesus Christ is your Lord.
That's right.
It'd be like watching one of those Spanish soap operas without any subtitles, and then you repeat what you hear. Then some Mexican lady near you just goes, "Do you kiss your mom with that mouth?" You don't know what you said. You just were like, "What does this mean? This sounds cool."
Well, speaking of that, when I first got to Panama, not knowing my Spanish, I was an NCO and some of the non-rates, which is privates and stuff, came up and said, "Hey, say this word." Now say that to the first sergeant. Like, no, I don't know what you want me to say, but I don't trust you, and no. Later, I found out what they want me to say was not a very nice word.
That'd be a way to endear yourself to him, really.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, well, you got to be careful with tongues.
I'm out of time.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of Striving for Eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's Word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. news. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
That's our show. And if you have a podcast that you would like to be part of the network, instead of the .org domain, visit christianpodcastcommunity.com. And there you'll find links to guide you through the steps of applying to be part of the network. If you feel like you would be a good fit, even if you're not sure you'd be a good fit with all those other awesome shows, look at me. They let me in, so I guess that says something. You would think they'd have higher standards than that. Well, anyway, this is your host, Keith, signing off, saying, tell a friend about us. And, oh, you know what? I should also include that we can all be found on Twitter, HPNcast. The HPNC is all capital letters. We're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called HPNcast Community. And just recently, I finally got around to and started up our own Facebook page called Life Truth. It kind of mirrors what we do on the website at life-truth.com. So with those web presences that maybe you didn't know about, check us out, tell a friend about us. And as I said, I'll repeat myself. This is your host, Keith, signing off, saying thanks for listening. See you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, the new home for all our Quest for Truth shows. While you're there, subscribe to the shows. Sign up for email notifications. Send an email or leave a voicemail at 401-753-4844. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at Protectors of the Book, facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music for the show provided by permission of Kevin Zerbe, Zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. If you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.